Good morning. Today's daf and Baba Kama's Chav Tes. We're on Chav Chesamid Beis, and we are towards the top of the Amud. We opened up yesterday with a Mishnah. Here we are in the third parak of the Masechta, and we're going over various nezeks that occur. And we are now somewhere between Bor and Shor. What happens is that he created a water slick in the Rishus Rabbim. Nishbar Akado. Look at the Mishnah on Chav Chesamid Aleph. Nishbar Akado Rishus Rabbim Vehuchlak Acher B'mayim. So he had a jug. The jug was filled with a liquid. And let's assume it's water. Doesn't matter. And so it breaks in a Rishus Rabbim, and somebody else goes ahead and slips on that water. Oh, shalaka bar charasis. Or let's say, in other words, the jug obviously broke into pieces and you hurt yourself on one of the shards. So chayev. So according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, you are going to be chayev. You created the hazard. You created the slick. And therefore, you're going to be chayv on the nezik that results. And Rav Yehuda Amrem Miskaven Chav Beinu Miskaven Pater. And Rav Yehuda talks about kavana. The vast majority of our daf today is going to be focusing on Rav Yehuda, but we're not there yet. We're almost there. Okay. And what are we discussing right now? Is that water slick that was created by you in the Rishus Rabbim? So what is that? Okay. Halachically nezik. So what is it? So the simplest way to say it is that it is going to be a bor. A boar that's created by Rishus HaRabim. And according to Shmuel, that's effectively what it is, right? That's what we saw yesterday, that according to Shmuel, it's a boar. So boar by Rishus HaRabim. And what about the fact that you are no longer the owner of it? Let's say you're a mafkirit. So Shmuel would say, okay, I'm still on phase. It's a boar. Boar by Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. Good. But according to Rav, so Rav says, well, if you were in mafkirit, So it's not going to be a boar, but rather it's going to be a shor. Okay. So I know that was tricky. In other words, Rav said it yesterday. It's a little bit tricky, but the hecha delo afkarinu, so mamonuhu. So where we ended off yesterday is that according to Rav, if you weren't mafkarin and you still wanted it to be yours, not sure why. In other words, it's sitting there on the floor, lying on the floor. But regardless, it's not the point. The point is that as long as you retain ownership of the item, so it doesn't fall under the category of boar. The category of boar, according to Rav, is only when you were mafkarit. In other words, okay, let's just leave it like that. And so therefore now, it's yours and you're liable, but the liability is going to categorically not fall under the category of boar, but it's going to fall under the category of shor.
What is he mafkarit?
No, he's not mafkarit. In other words,
what is it? If he's mafkarit.
If he's mafkarit, so then it's going to be boar.
The water,
whatever hazard it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You leave a hazard in the Rishus HaRabim and you're mafkarit, so it's boar. But the point is that if you're not mafkarit, it's going to be shor. And there's a big difference, as we pointed out yesterday, between boar and shor. Mm-hmm. When it comes to boar, so you're going to be putter on kalim. When it comes to boar, you're going to be putter if an animal dies in the... If a person dies in the boar. A nezik adam, you're going to be chayiv. But there's a big difference between boar and shor, as we pointed out yesterday. Okay. With all that stated, so we have really a fundamental machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, and that is that you create a hazard in the Rishus HaRabim, and now what is and you weren't mafkirit, so is that going to be boar? Is that going to be sure? That's where we ended off yesterday. Okay, Meitz Rav Oshia. So the Gemara now is going to be challenging and this challenge is going to present itself a challenge to both Rav and to Shmuel based on the following brisa. This is where we pick it up from yesterday. We're on Chav Chesamid Beis. And it's towards the top of the Amud. So this drash already we heard a number of times, but here we are. The Gemara goes over. So when it comes to the nezek of boar, so there's going to be a patur. There's a patur of Adam and Kalim. Meaning the Torah identifies that what happened is that you dug a pit in the Rishus HaRabim and falls in one of two animals. Shor or chamor. Now, of course, it's not limited to those two animals. Any animal that falls into a pit that you created, so you're going to have liability for. But why does the Torah give two examples of two animals? Because there are two exemptions. Exemption number one is going to be Kalim. Exemption number two is going to be Adam. Mikanamru nafal asocha shor v'chelav. V'nishtabru chamor. V'nishtabru. Chamor v'chelav. V'nitkaru. So chayv al-behim apato la-kalim. So now that means to say, let's put this into practice. So the Bryce goes on to describe that what happens is that an animal now is walking in the street and falls into a pit that you created, and the animal had kalim on it. It was carrying packages. So now the animal falls in. So on the nezek that was caused to the animal, you're going to be you're going to be putter. I'm sorry. On the nezek caused to the animal, you're going to be chayev. On the nezek caused to the kelim, you're going to be putter. Okay, good. So halama is a damalavna v'sekinu masu shinich b'rishos harabim v'zeko. You know what it's comparable to? You put any hazard in the rishos harabim. You put a stone in the rishos harabim or a knife, and someone damages themselves on it. It's comparable to that. So immediately the Gemara just wants to check the Braisa, because that Braisa didn't make sense on that last point. Adrabba, ma dom lezemi baile. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. The av nezek is of course the boar. And then all the other hazards are derivatives, they're tolados. So what do you mean when the Braisa says, you know a pit, you know what it's like? It's like a knife, it's like a stone. Just flip that point. Then Gemara says, you're right, it's a good point, flip it. So Ella my dom avno v'sakino maso shinich b'rishos harabim v'zika. Okay, so just a quick edit of the Braisa, which is that similarly, just like the pit, you're going to be chayiv, you're also going to be chayiv by stones and knives and whatever other hazards you put in the rishos harabim. Lefichach imitich psuchas was bevin chayiv. Right, somebody now, you left a stone in the rishos harabim, someone steps on the stone, trips over the stone, breaks a plate that was in their hands. So that's your liability because you're the one who left the hazard in the rishos harabim. Okay, now reisha kasha l'rav, sefer kasha l'shmuel. So the Gemara says, now you read the first half of the brisa, and now you're thinking like Rav, that's difficult. You read the second half of the brisa, you're thinking like Shmuel, that's going to be difficult. Meaning, and we're going to fill in the blank in just a moment. What happened over here? You left the hazard in the rishos harabim. Were you mafkir? Were you not mafkir it? Oh, good question. So l'tamech tikshaleh lachigufa. So reisha pater sefer chayev. So Gemara says, wait 1 second. You know, before we get to Rav and Shmuel, just reading the brisa in of itself, so you get mixed messages, right? The beginning of the brisa talks about a patur. The end of the brisa talks about a chiyuv. Well, which one is it? So ella Rav mitaris l'tamech, Shmuel mitaris l'tamech. So the Gemara says, look, it's very simple. It's not that simple, but. In other words, Rav and Shmuel basically are going to look at the Braisa, touch up the Braisa based on their shitas. Let's start with Rav. Rav mitaris l'tamei b'medvar amorim kishi hefkiram. Meaning, what happened in the Braisa? So you put a hazard in the rishos harabim, and an animal falls into it, and kalim break in it. And the Braisa says you're going to be potter. B'medvar amorim kishi hefkiram. That is where you created a boar, b'rishos harabim, and you were mafkirit. Or alternatively, you put a stone or a knife in the b'rishos harabim, and you were mafkirit. Avalo yifkiran, but if you are not going to be mafkirit, now you're going to be chayev. Oh. And why? So again, because if you were mafkirit and you declared it to be ownerless, so now categorically, what does it fall under? Boar. Okay, boar with all of its halachas, meaning an animal's damage in the boar that you're going to be chayiv. Kalim's damage is going to be in a boar that you're going to be potter. Okay, that's if you were mafkir. But if you were not mafkir and you retain ownership of it, according to Rav, it's no longer, it's not in the category of boar. It's now mamono, it's your money, and that's monetary damage, niske mamon, I is sure, and therefore you're going to be chayiv on the animal, on the kalim. In other words, this is chayvus. So leficha chitich zuchus v'be'evin chayev. And that's how you understand the second half of the braisa. You retained ownership.
No,
that's for you. Ushmuel amar. Mashiach is coming quicker, I'm telling you. Ushmuel mitaritz l'tamei. Hasha damar davno sakina masa kabaro damei. And now we're going to do the same thing for Shmuel. Okay. And in other words, because again, according to Shmuel now, it's boar and it remains boar. And so how do you learn the Braisa? The Braisa goes like this. Avno sakinim amaso kebaru dami. So you put a stone, you put a knife. So now it's going to be... Yesh makom. So Rabbi Yehuda mechayv al niske kelem babor. Leficha chitich tzuchasa be'evin chayim. Okay. So the... So you put a stone and a knife and or anything in the rishos harabim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, mechayv on this gate kelim babor. In other words, that part of the brisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that when it comes to bor, so you are going to be chayv even on kelim. So therefore, lefiachitich tzuchasus ve'evin chayev. So in other words, according to Shmuel, it's bor. It's always going to be bor. You're mafkir, you're not mafkir. It doesn't matter. It's going to be bor. Aye, so what about the end of the braisa that talks about his chayvus by kalim? That shita's Rav Yehuda. Meaning, out of lefield, the braisa introduced the sheet of Rav Yehuda who says that you're chayv on kalim and bor. Okay. So, where are we right now? Basic machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. And that is that when I leave a hazard in the Rishus Rabin, but I don't, I'm not mafkir, I retain ownership of the item. So I'm going to be liable. But the basic machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is liability alts what? So according to Rav, it's liability alts being not a boar, but rather shore. And according to Shmuel, it's going to be liability alts boar. And I know it's I know that's complicated. I know it's a little bit difficult, but that's where we ended off yesterday. That's where we start off this morning. So Amar Rabbi Elazar lo shanu elo shenitkal be'evin. The v'nishav be'evin. Aval nitkal be'karka v'nishav be'evin pater. So the Gemara says, okay, now, at the end of the braisa, what happened is that you trip, you fell on a stone that somebody left in the street, and you broke a plate, whatever you were carrying. And so now that person is going to be chayev. Now, what about the following? Let's just change one variable. What did you trip? You tripped over yourself. Okay? A good part of today's daf is going to be discussing what happens when you trip over yourself. But let's say you trip over yourself, and you land on the stone that somebody left. So in other words, what are we looking at over here? We've referenced this before. We're going to quickly reference it right now, and that is going to be dual responsibility. What if there was a tag team effort that was done in order to create Nezek? So what do we say now about the owners of both of the causalities of the Nezek? So this is going to be a machlokus that we're going to see later on, Nun Gimel. Right in the Masechta, there we're going to be covering this in detail. But right now we're just making reference to it. So the Gemara says, so if you were Nitka Bakarka Vinisha Bevan Potter, so over there, so basically the damage was caused by the stone, but not just by the stone, but also by you tripping. So now this is joint liability. So what do we say over here? What we're going to say later on in Nun Gimel, Tzemach Lokis.
Why do you say joint? If you're saying that the owner of the stone is not liable, right?
No, the owner of the stone, no. Right now, the end of the Brisus is Chayev. The end of the Brisus is Chayev, period. How do you understand that? Again, it depends on who you ask, whether you ask Rav or whether you ask Shmuel. But right now, the end of the Brisus says that you trip and there's a stone there and the plate broke, so you're going to be Chayev. So what now the Gemara is adding is an additional point. Which is that, let's say you didn't trip over the stone. You tripped over yourself. But the plate broke on the stone that was left by somebody else. So now that is contributing Nezek. So what do we say over there? It's a machlokus. So Kaman Deloka Rabbi Nasan. So the Gemara simply points out that if you're going to say Pater in such a scenario, that's not like Rabbi Nasan. Rabbi Nasan would say you're Chayev. Igadam in a slightly different version. Amar Rav Lazar lo tema. Benitka be'evim v'nisho be'evim hu demechayev ava nitka be'karka v'nisho be'evim Pater. Ela afilu nitka be'karka v'nisho be'evim Chayev. Kaman ki Rabbi Nasan. And in another version of this discussion, even if I didn't trip on the stone, I tripped before the stone, and the plate landed on the stone, and so now what created the Nezek? Me and somebody else. So in the second version, Chayev, why? Because in the second version, subscription to the Shita of Rabbi Nasan.
When we had the 10 guys that the last one did the panel, we looked at it sequentially. Here we're looking at it.
Correct, but
the falling wasn't the first. Wasn't
in the 10 guy scenario, we were discussing liability vis-a-vis capital punishment. So, over here, right. Over here, we're talking about contributions towards a Nezek. So when I have two different people or two different sources contributing to the Nezek, so it's a machlokus in terms of whether or not the second one could be held liable. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Miskaven Chayev. Okay, so here we begin. Okay, we are now in the bottom of Chachas Amud Beis. Quote unquote, the starting point of today's daf. And now let's reset. Let's remind. Okay, so we now have a situation where I broke a jug in the Rishos HaRabim, and I created a water slick, and somebody falls on that water slick, and damage occurs. So the opening of the Mishnah says that you're going to be liable. Now liability is for what? Go back to yesterday's daf. Rav Shmuel. That water slick is considered a shore or a bore. Good. That's yesterday's daf. Okay, already, by the way, that complicated piece of Gemara. Good. But now, let's go and move to today's daf. Now today's daf is going to be a function of the next point of the Mishnah. I already read it, but let's read it again. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Miskavein, Chayav, Beinu Miskavein, Pater. So Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on intent. If intention, Chayav. If no intention, Pater. Now I'm sure you noticed that when I read the Mishnah yesterday, so what did I do? I just ran right past that point of the Mishnah because it's very difficult to understand. What does that mean? Intention for what? Whose intention? Good. So at its face value, it is almost impossible to read the Mishnah and understand the Mishnah. It's called why we have Gemara. So let's go. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Miskaven Chayev. Shehechidami Miskaven. So now the Gemara starts off with a really simple question. What in the world does that mean? Amar Rabba Miskaven Larida Lamata Miktefo. Okay, so Rabbi says as follows, and that is that here's what's happening. You're walking with a jug in the street. And now you need a breath, you need a break. So you look to put it down. And now you look to put it down. So and what happens is that you trip. Now, it took me a while to wrap my head around this Gemara over here because Iker Chasam and a Sefer were kind of missing the main point. Rashi fills in the gap over here. Look at Rashi. Miskav l'arid l'mata miktefa v'nitkal v'utcha b'kosa chayef. And what happens is that as you put it down, so you're a little bit uncoordinated. So in other words, you trip as you look to put it down. And now you trip and it broke. So in other words, so over here, a tekala. So a little bit of clumsiness, and that is going to be equivalent to a little bit of clumsiness is going to be considered a little bit of negligence. But I say a little bit of negligence. There's no such thing as a little bit. In other words, it's negligent. And therefore, you are going
to... Why would stumble and be negligent?
Please wait. That's a great question. Please wait. So Amalei Abayi Mechlal, the Mechayv Rabbi Meir Afilu Nifshara. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So now there's obviously contrasting viewpoints in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, who's Rabbi Meir? Tanakhama. Right? Again, right? The little bit of a curveball over here. The Gemara just kind of threw that in, but that's just perfect. You caught on quicker than I did. So the Tanakhama of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you stumbled and broke it, you're going to be chayev. According to Rabbi Meir, what does that mean? That you're going to be chayiv even for something that is even less your fault? That's kind of hard to imagine. And less your fault would mean what? The Gemara goes on to describe. The mechayv rameir afilu nifshara. Let's say you're holding the jug. And what happens? While you're holding it, you do absolutely nothing. So what happens is a detachment between the handle and the rest of the jug. And it falls. And it creates a hazard. And somebody damages. And that's ones. And that's absolutely not your fault whatsoever. And you want to tell me now that according to Rabbi Meir, you'd be chayev? The Gemara says that's absurd. So the Gemara says, I'm lay in. Mechayev ayah Rabbi Meir. Afilu az nabi adon. So the Gemara says, well, I'm gonna argue. And I'm going to tell you that, yeah, you're holding the handle in your hand. The rest of the jug just kind of detached. And Rabbi Meir says you're going to be chayev. The Gemara says that can't be. I know you're saying it, but it can't be. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, where a woman is violated, and she's a married woman, but she was violated, and there is absolutely no liability on her part because Anus. And the Vechitema, Hani Melilin, Katalava, Ingin, Nizakin, Chayev. And the Gemara says, yeah, but that's a capital punishment. So maybe Ptur Onis is on capital crime. But how do I know it's going to be a Ptur Onis on even a Nezek? Ve'atanya, the Gemara says, no, I know there's going to be a Ptur Nezek even by Onis as well. Ve'atanya nishbara kada v'lo silko, nafo gemala v'lo emido, remer mechay be'ezekim v'chachamim omrim, pata medina adam v'chay b'dine shamayim. So, you leave a hazard in the Rishos Rabim. So according to Rav Meir, you're chayv, and according to the Chachamim, you're pater. Now, according to the Chachamim, you're pater, but really, in other words, you want to do the right thing, you should pick it up. But in other words, but strictly speaking, you're going to be pater. Now, hold that thought. Of course, we're coming back to that. But right now, we just want to make one singular point, so I'm just going to keep reading. We're on the top of Chav Tes Amud Aleph. You leave a knife on the rooftop, but a regular wind pushes it off. Something that you easily should have anticipated. And now, that hazard now is in the street, and somebody gets damaged, you're going to be chayev.
Why wouldn't that be considered garmi?
In other words, because it's ruach.
You're living with garmi, like
it's ruach mitsuya. It's ruach mitsuya. In other words, it's something that you should have easily anticipated. It's effectively you left in the rishos
haraya. Not like a storm, just a regular.
Regular. Umodir amir l'rabbanan b'malakan kanim alagagam anas l'nagvan v'naflu ruach sheinim mitsuya v'izikin shupater. But now a wind, which is unusual and unanticipated, comes and blows it off.
Tornado,
hurricane. Good. So it blows it off. So now you're going to be pater. Why? Because that's ones. So, and kuliyama, according to everyone, that's ones, and you're going to be pater. So what's happening over here is that we just established and we just learned together that ones rachmana patre, whether or not we're talking about a capital punishment or whether we're talking about nezek, if something is absolutely out of your control and it was unforecastable. I just made that word up.
Good one.
Thank you. So it's onus, and by onus you're going to be pater. So the Gemara says so. Now don't tell me that according to Rav Meir, you're holding the jug in your hand, and lo and behold, all of a sudden you're holding the handle, and the rest of the jug falls to the floor, and it breaks, and you're going to be chayiv. That's onus, and onus rachmana patre. Now, mind you, by the way, I don't know if I said this in this cycle. I kind of hope I did, but even if I didn't. So we just learned. Look, we're going to just pause for just a moment. On Chav Vav, what is that, 3 days ago, 4 days ago? So we learned together, Adamur La'olam, that a person is always going to be liable for every and anything that happens as a result of his action. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, right? Bein er, bein yashan, awake, asleep. In other words, you're always going to be liable. So we're learning together right now that, you know, if it's ones, you're going to be pater. Right? Well, that's what we're learning right now. So Toso says twice. Toso says it here. Toso says it back on Chav Zayin. So Toso says that even though Adam ul Olam, but not if it's Onis Gamor. If it's Onis Gamor, so then you're going to be Potter. And Toso points to our Gemara right over here. Meaning this Gemara over here says pretty clearly, it's right, more than pretty clearly, that when it comes to Onis Gamor, when something is absolutely out of your control, so then you're going to be pater. So Tosa says that even though Adam ula olam, there will be an exclusion, there is going to be an exception for something which is onis gamor. Good. Not all Rishonim are on board with the Tosfos, and they're going to have to deal with Gemaras like the one we just read right now. Okay, it's not even a parenthetical note, but I just, that took us out of the thread of the Gemara. Now we go back to the thread of the Gemara. Okay, so let us now quickly reset. In our Mishnah, we have a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Good. And Rav Yehuda talks about some sort of kavana. Good. And Rav Meir disagrees. Also good. After that, we're right now somewhat lost. What are they arguing about? And for a moment, the Gemara suggested, well, maybe they're arguing about ones. And the Gemara says, unacceptable. That's an unacceptable approach. No one's arguing about ones. Ones is going to be pater. So that's out of the question. So now we reset. And now we are just trying to wrap our head around what's the machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Okay. So El Amar Abaye. So here we are now, Chavtes Amad Aleph, and the entirety of Amad Aleph is going to give us one approach to this dilemma, and that is Abaye's approach. And then, if I may, in other words, at the bottom of the Amud, so we're going to see Rav Elazar, who's basically going to co-sign on this approach of Abaye. Okay, so here we are now, approach number one. B'tarte pligi, pligi b'shas nefila, pligi lach nefila. So in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, so we're going to have a double machlokas. One, in which nezek is caused because you tripped over your own feet. And to Alan's question that he asked earlier, and I asked him to wait, so tripping over your own feet, is that negligence or is that an accident? That's the machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. So pligi b'shas nefila, v'nitkal posheya. So Marsavar Nitkal Posheahu, Marsavar Nitkal La Posheahu. So that is Machlokas. And by the way, Machlokas number one of the Mishnah. So you're walking with a jog, and what happens is that you trip over nothing. You trip over your own feet. Okay, so were you clumsy? Yes. Are you, is that liable? That's the Machlokas. Okay. So and Rabbi Meir will tell you, Poshea, it's negligence. And therefore, if now it falls, and while it falls, it does damage, that's you. And that's your liability. That's your negligence. That's your liability. That's Rav Meir. And Rav Yehuda will tell you, no, no, no. In other words, that's an accident. But that's not liable. You just tripped over your own feet. And nitkal lav posheahu. That is machlokas number one in the Mishnah. Okay? And then it goes on. And then there's a second machlokas also occurring in the Mishnah. Now, by the way, Abai's approach is reading a lot into the Mishnah. And momentarily, the Gemara is going to ask the question, how do you see all this in the Mishnah? Okay, it's not easy. But and then machlokas number two. And that is now after the fall. So now what happens is that it broke. And you have all everything over there. Okay, I work in a relatively big institution. Right, there's upwards of 600 people in a single building. So it happens all the time. And that is that there are spills everywhere. Right? Mamish, in other words, it's maisa b'chol yom. Now, I'm not here to paskin liability. I'm just saying that what we're discussing right now happens all the time. So the and now, after it fell, so now it's all over the floor. And now a second machlokas in the Mishnah regarding this spill and its liability. And that is la'achin afila b'mafkin azakav marsavar chayav marsavar pater. Okay. And one says you're going to be chayav and the other one says you're going to be pater. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, sorry, let's start off with Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, you're going to be chayav. So the, meaning, despite the fact that you decided, you know what? Not my problem. And not only not my problem, not mine anymore. Right? I'm mafkir it. Right? They, kids are eating cereal in the hallway, right? Spill, and they just walk away. not my problem, not my cleanup issue. So the so according to Rabbi Meir, you're going to be chayiv, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be pater. So the now this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that you're going to be pater, we're gonna clarify that point in just a moment. So, but before we clarify that point, so according to Abaye, what's happening in our mission now is a twofold machlokas. Number one is that you trip, and while you're tripping, you are holding an item, it fell, and while it's falling, it does damage. Machlok is number one. According to Rav Meir, you're poshea, and therefore you're liable. And by the way, categorically, I know how you're thinking. I'm also thinking the same categorically. That sounds like that's niske adam, meaning it's because it's your koach. So according to Rav Meir, chai, because tripping is pshia. And according to Rav Yehuda, no, tripping is not pshia. Okay. Right? It's such a fascinating machlokas. Meaning, right, all the time when a person trips, like right, you should have been more careful. Well, okay. So sometimes we have a glitch in our brain and sometimes we trip. Right? It wasn't my fault. Okay, good. So that, gufa, that's the machlokas. And then, that's machlokas number one. And then a secondary machlokas is after now fell to the ground and you decide, you know what? Not mine anymore. And you're a mafkir nechasav. So now, are you going to be liable for that? According to Rav Meir, yes. According to Rav Yehuda, no. And again, we need to clarify that point of Rav Yehuda, but that's the second machlokas in the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara says, how did you extract all that from the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, midiktani tarta. Huchluk echad b'mayim o'shalaka b'charasis. So because look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave not one, but two scenarios. So why did the Mishnah give two scenarios? So haynu hach elalav hachi kamar huchlak echad b'mayim b'shas nefila oshalaka becharasis la'achin nefila. So the reason why the Mishnah gave two scenarios is because it was describing two different halachic phenomena. One, when the damage occurs during the fall, and two, when the damage occurs after it's now on the floor. Okay. Umi demasisim betarte b'risaname betarte. Now, if Abai is insistent that this is how you're going to read the Mishnah, we're also going to be insistent that this is how you're going to read the Brice as well. How are you going to read the Brice? I'll tell you how. Now, in the case of the Brice had two cases. Now, you remember the Brice of the Brice? We started off our morning. Well, not the starting point. But in other words, but on the bottom of Chav Chesamud Beis. So we had the jug falling and we had your camel falling. So in the case of the jug falling, I can easily see damage occurring during the fall. I can easily see the damage occurring after the shards are on the floor. But Ella Gamala Bishlamalach and Afila Mishkachala Bemafkin Nivlaso. Ella Bishas Nefila Echi Mishkachala. Now, the camel. I understand the camel fell, and let's say camel fell and died. And you decide, you know what? Ugh, useless. He's just going to leave it there. So that scenario I understand, meaning that there is even such a scenario. But what does it mean that you were carrying the camel and you tripped and the camel slipped out of your hand? Like, that's absurd. The camel is weighing a ton, probably more. Okay. So about a ton. Anyway, you're not carrying the camel. So what does it mean now? Shas nefila by a camel. So the Gemara is going to try a couple of suggestions. So the Gemara says, well, attempt number one is that maybe what you were doing is that you were walking the camel through murky, muddy water, and the camel couldn't see where it's going. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If there was a clean path that you could have walked down and you decided to take this animal down a treacherous path where the animal couldn't see where it was walking, you are negligent. That's pshia. Now, if there's no other way, and this is the only way you could have walked, so this is onis. So so the Gemara says, fine. Let's try the following. What happened was is that you were walking in front of the camel, you tripped, camel tripped over you. That is going to be shas nefila by a camel. Fine. Okay. Now, where are we right now? So in our Mishnah, Abaye's approach to our Mishnah is that double machlokas in the Mishnah. Shas nefila, achir nefila. Shas nefila, it's easy. Well, I say easy, by the way. In other words, the machlokas in terms of what is a predicate of, it's very simple. You tripped and you fall, and during this fall now you cause damage. Is that pshia, yes or no? Machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Meir, pshia. According to Rav Yehuda, not pshia. In other words, is tripping negligence? Yes or no? That's a machlokas. Good. Now we move on to the second machlokas in the Mishnah according to Abaye. It now landed on the floor, broke, somebody fell and damaged on the item that you were mafkir. And, oh, by the way, it broke after you tripped. Now, what's this machlokas? The Gemara now is going to explain. Mafkir nechasav mayim miskaven ika. In other words, over here, kavana, what's the kavana? Because again, remember, the entire discussion all started with Rav Yehuda saying, b'miskaven, what kavana are we talking about?
What's the difference between an animal, right, tripping or breaking something versus a human being?
Now, the tripping is you. The tripping, the animal didn't trip. You tripped.
I'm saying, if an animal goes through, and trips or just knocks into something, it's in a Mishusha Rabbim, it's butter.
Perfect.
So, but why does that not apply to a human being who trips or,
because a person should be walking and according to a mayor, a person.
You're not allowed to trip.
According to a mayor, you're not allowed to trip. Or, no, you're allowed to trip, but you're just, in other words, that's negligence. Perfect. Mafkin nechaz of my miskaven ika amar Rav Yosef b'miskaven lezakos becharaseh. So according to Rav Yosef, pshat is going to go like this. In other words, again, he's supporting Abaye, and the miskaven is that you were miskaven to take it back, meaning you wanted to be koneit. V'chein amar Rav Yosef b'miskaven lezakos becharaseh. Okay, good. So the kavana means that you wanted to take it back, meaning, i.e., if you didn't want to take it back, so now you're going to be, it's not yours anymore. You're going to be potter. And Rav Elazar, Rav Bishas, Nefila Machlokes, Aval, Lachan, Nefila Mai, Divrei HaKol Pater, Vahayika, Rav Meir, Demechayev, Ela Mai, Divrei HaKol Chayev, Mai, Divrei HaKol Chayev, Vahayika, Rabban, and Depatre, Ela Mai, Bishas, Nefila, Af, Bishas, Nefila, V'kamash, Malak, Adah, Baye. And the Gemara now in the Bam, Chav, Tesam, and Aleph, says that Rav Elazar co-signs this pshat, and he agrees with Abaye. Okay. Ad Kan, Amud Aleph of today's daf. Quick summary, okay, as we turn the page, and we're about to give a new approach in our Mishnah, but before we do so. So Abaye tackles our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda regarding what happens if you're holding a barrel, falls, breaks, level of liability. Rav Meir says chayev, and according to Rav Yehuda, qualification. If you're miskavin, chayev, but if you're not miskavin, pater. Okay, what is going on in our Mishnah? So here we just wrapped up our first approach of the Mishnah, Abaye's understanding of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, encoded, but not clearly visible, but there is a double machlokas. Machlokas number one, according to Abaye, is what happens when you trip and fall. And while you are in the act of tripping, you damage. So according to Rabbi Meir, Tanakam of our Mishnah, you're chayv. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be putter. And why? Because tripping, is that pshia? Rabbi Meir says yes, and therefore you're chayv. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, therefore you're putter. And then on top of that is secondary machlokas in the Mishnah. And that's going to be the following. And that's going to be what happens now is that after you trip and after you fall and after now, it landed on the floor. So now, do you have to pick it up? The answer is, let's be as clear as we can for this morning's daf. The answer is yes, you have to pick it up. In other words, yes, you do. Okay, so now it happens to be, Baruch Hashem, I work with a adolescent community and sometimes I don't get compliance. It happens. Okay. I know that's shocking. But yes, you have to pick it up. But if you don't pick it up and someone slips and someone falls and someone gets damaged, so is there going to be a liability? And let's say you're a mafker. So according to Rav Meir, you're going to be chayev. And according to Rav Yehuda, you're going to be putter. Okay. And that is Abaye's second machlokas that he sees in the Mishnah. How did he know there were two machlokas going on in the Mishnah? The Gemara explained that on the Amud Aleph. See above. Okay. We now are going to go to the Amud Beis of today's daf. And now, Rav Yochanan, Malach and Afila Machlokas. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Yochanan, there is a machlokas in the Mishnah, but specifically Acher Nefila. Okay. Now, Ava B'Shas Nefila Mai. So the Gemara says, okay, but that means according to Rav Yochanan, what about Shas Nefila? You trip. So Divrei HaKol Pater. So Rav Yochanan is going to argue that according to everyone, you're going to be Pater. The Hamid the Kamer Rav Yochanan LaKamelot Hema Masisim Rav Meir Hidamar Nitka Poshehu Mechlal De Rav Meir Mechayev. The Gemara says, yeah, but on a comment that Rav Yochanan will make later. On a Mishnah on Lamed Aleph, it sounds like Rav Yochanan is recognizing a machlokas about whether or not tripping is posheya. So Elamai Divrei HaKol Chayev. So the Gemara says, well, what are you going to suggest? That in the case of tripping, everyone's going to say you're chayev. The Hamid the Kamer Rav Yochanan LaKamel Lo Tema Masisim Rav Meir Hidamar Nitka Poshehu Mechlal De Pashur Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, I again, ditto, same point. Rav Yochanan recognizes that whether tripping is pshia is a machlokas. So Ela Kamash Malan, the Mafkin Chasav Da Hachu De Pashur Rabbanan Danosu Ava Mafkin Chasav Da Ama Mechayve. So the Gemara says, you're right. According to Rav Yochanan, tripping, whether that's negligence or not negligence, it's a machlokas. You're right. That's not the point that Rav Yochanan was making. Rav Yochanan was making the following point. And that is, you tripped, it fell, it broke, you created a slick. There's a machlokas whether or not you're going to be chayef. What Rav Yochanan is now teaching us is the following. In this case, and only in this case, is there going to be a machlokas. Meaning to say, let's say I didn't trip and fall. Let's say I'm standing there in the Rishos HaRabim, and no tripping, no falling. I leave a knife right there in the Rishos HaRabim. I leave a stone, whatever hazard it is. So, and I'm mafkir. And then I walk away saying, not mine. So what Rav Yochanan's teaching us is that in that situation, there is no machlokas, simply no machlokas. Everyone would say that under those circumstances, you're going to be chayef. Only in the case of where the hazard was created by virtue of the fact that you tripped, there and only there we're going to have a machlokas. Okay. So, Ela kamash malan demafke nechasav, I'm just rereading. Ela kamash malan demafke nechasav nizakav dehachu depachu rabbanan. Ava mafke nechasav de'alma, so mechayve. If the hazard was left there not through tripping, not through ones, possible ones, but someone intentionally, deliberately left it there, and he also disavowed and declared himself no longer the owner of the item, everyone would say, according to Rav Yochanan, that you would be chayev. Itmar mafkin nezakav, Rav Yochanan v'Rav Lazar, chanamar chayev, v'chanamar pater, leima man de chayev, karebi meir, man de pater, karabanan. The Gemara says, mafkin nezakav, you left nezakim in the Rishos HaRabim, you declared it ownerless. So, machlokas Rav Yochanan v'Rav Lazar, right now we don't know who says what. But the Gemara says maybe this machlokas is machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Aliba the Rav Meir kulam lo pligi. According to Rav Meir, there's mamish no machlokas. Ki pligi aliba the Rabbanan man de patik Rabbanan and man de mechayv amlecha ana damri afilu Rabbanan ad kan lo patik Rabbanan ela ba mafkin nezakav dehacha misham danusu ava mafkin nezakav dama mechayve. And the Gemara effectively makes this point again. which is that, well, here's what I'm going to argue. I know the Chachamim argue with Rav Meir. I get it. But specifically in the case where the Nezek in the street was created by tripping, it was created by Anus. But someone who intentionally left it there is going to be liable, even if he disavows, even if he declares it ownerless. So Tistayim de Rebbe Lazar Damer Chayev. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're Mafkir Nezakov in a Rishos Harabim. So we have a Machlokes, Rav Yochanan and Rebbe Lazar. One says Chayev, the other says Potter. And the Gemara tried to connect it to the Machlokes, Rav Meir and the Chacham, and the Gemara says, not necessarily. Now, who says what? Rav Yochanan says which position? Rav Elazar says which position? So the Gemara says, look, I think I know what Rav Elazar says. So Damar Chayev, Damar Rav Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Yishmol, Shnei Dvarim Einim Bershusso Shadam, Asa Makasav Kilo Ein Bershusso, Ve'elohin Bor Bershusso Rabim, and Chameitz Mishesh Sha'os V'lamala. Okay, two areas in Halacha where it's not yours and it's yours. Okay, mind bender. Something is not yours and the Torah says, you know what? I know it's not yours, but it's yours. In other words, even though you're not the owner, the Torah treats you as if you're the owner with full liability for ownership. Example number one is going to be Chametz on Pesach, right? Now, Chametz on Pesach is Aser Be'achila, it's also Aser Be'hana. Now, when something is Aser Be'hana, which means what? I can't get any benefit from it whatsoever. Effectively, what is my value in the item? If we were going to put a market value to my to how much it means to me, zero. I can't eat it. I can't get any benefit from it. It has no value to me. And yet the Torah says, do you know what? If you own it on Pesach, you're subject to kares. Right? That's serious. So how could you call me the owner if I can't get any benefit from it? Exactly. So that's example number one of something that's not yours, but it's yours. The Torah, even though you don't have any value in the item, the Torah puts it in your possession to be chayev, which is why, of course, you get rid of it. Now, and example number two is going to be a bor b'rishos harabim. You dig up a pit in the b'rishos harabim and you declare it now not yours, so you're going to be chayev. So tistayim, the Gemara says, okay, umi amar Rav Elazar hachi. The Gemara says, are you sure about this? So who's it by Macher Chayev Benisko? The Amar of Lo Shanuela Shiniskav Lazakus Bahem Avalonisgav Lazakus Bahem Potter Amamafkin Zakav Potter. So the Gemara says, okay, but consider the following. Rav Elazar has the following case. Someone left a pile of manure in the street. And what you do is you move it from point A to point B, but still in the street. So Rav Elazar says that as long as you never intend on becoming the owner of it, and you move it for I don't know, random reasons, who knows? But in other words, but Rebbe Lazar says under those circumstances, you will be potter. So I'm Rav Ada Ba'ava, so Echzir Elim Kama. So Rav Ada Ba'ava says, now, I'm sorry, I didn't clarify the question. We're arguing right now that according to Rebbe Lazar, Rav Elazar takes the position that you create a bor b'rishos harabim, even if you declared ownerless, you're going to be chayev. We're right now attaching that opinion to Rav Elazar. The problem the Gemara is raising right now is that the person who moved the manure in the street, so Rav Elazar says that he would be potter. What do you mean? In other words, if he it doesn't matter that he's not interested in ownership. In other words, creating hazard in a b'rishos harabim is liable according to Rav Elazar. So why would Rav Elazar say that the moving of manure is going to be potter? That's the question. And the Gemara's answer is, I'm Rav Ada Ba'ava, Hechzir Lim Kama. So the Gemara says, Rav Elazar's patur is in an extraordinarily limited scenario. What did you do? You took the manure, you moved it from point A to point B in the street, and then what you also did is move it back from point B to back to point A. In that situation, and only in that situation, you're going to be potter. Why? Because you effectively didn't create the hazard and effectively you didn't change it from its original location. You moved it and you moved it back. Moving it back is not considered like your action. It was there to begin with. Okay. Only in that scenario, Rav Elazar says you're going to be potter, but if you move it to a new location, you're going to be chayiv, even if you're not the owner. I'm Ravina, Marshal de Ravada Bavalama Davadomer, Lemotse Bor, Megula Vichisau Chazavigilahu. So the Gemara says, you know, I'll give you a comp. All right? Here's a comparison. What happened was, is that there was a Bor Brishos Harabim. It was uncovered. You come along, you cover it, and then you uncover it, bringing it back to exactly the state in which you found it. Okay, now again, you want to talk about what's right? The right thing to do is leave it covered. If you put the manhole on and leave it there. But the point that we're making over here is that, look, if you discovered uncovered, so that means that somebody else's liability that created it, you cover it, you uncover it, all you did is just bring it back to the point in which you discovered it. And therefore, you're not going to be liable. Okay, doesn't make you a good person, but you're not going to be liable. That is comparable to our discussion of taking the maneuver, the manure, moving it from A to B back to A. Same thing, right? The Gemara says, you know, I don't think those cases are perfectly comparable. Because the Gemara says, look, I can argue that these cases are somewhat different. In other words, covering and uncovering the pit, all I did now is just bring it back to literally just the exact same condition in which I found it. Moving the manure, in other words, even though I put it back over here, it's not exactly the same condition in which I found it, because the area now is totally devoid of manure when I moved it. Okay. So halo dami ela motzei bor megulam utamama and chazav chafra distak luhu ma'aserisha mekayim luhu brishu. So the Gemara says, if you want to give a comp, I'll give you a comp. I think the comp would be where I found a pit in a rishus harabim, I filled it up, and then I dug it up again. Now whose pit is it? Over there, the argument could be made much stronger that now it's my pit, in my liability. So Alam Rav Ashi Kishav Chalapachos Mishlosha. So the Gemara says, so I'd like to give now a nupshat in Rav Elazar, the moving of the manure. So the so what you did is that you moved it, but never raising it above three tefachim. So the Gemara says, and therefore you never made a kinyan. And the Gemara says, really, that's the ukimta. So look, ma mi lamala mishlosha v'afagav dolos kav lazakus b'chayev. So the why don't you just give a simple kimta of I raise it above three tefachim, but with no intention of ever acquiring it. So amrava masisa kashise. So the Gemara says the reason why we don't say that is because of the language. My ir yafach lisne higbia. The language of the Mishnah is hafach. Hafach means kind of like you turned it over. The word hafach means that you kept it under three tefachim and you never made a kinyan on the item. Okay, so.
Considered attached to the ground.
Yeah, correct. In other words, hagbah requires that you have to lift it. Our Gemara over here gives a clear indication that hagbah requires above three tefachim. Okay, so where are we right now? We're gonna pause, even though we're almost done, but we'll pause here and we'll finish it up tomorrow, but let's quickly recap. Okay, a lot going on today's daf. But in terms of a summary, it's actually pretty straightforward. The outline is very clear. Our Mishnah has a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, where the jug falls in the street, creates a slick, somebody slips on it. So we have Rav Meir saying you're chayv, and Rav Yehuda saying it depends, kavana, no kavana. Chav, Tesam, and Aleph all brings us to one approach in understanding the Mishnah, the double machlokes according to Abaye. Where machlokas number one, you trip, you fall, and during that fall, damage occurs. So, tripping negligence, yes or no? Rav Meir says yes, and Rav Yehuda says no. And then, after the slick was created, so now somebody goes ahead and trips on it. So, according to Rav Meir, you're going to be chayev, and according to Rav Yehuda, depends. Is it yours? You're going to be chayev. If it's hefker, you're not going to be chayev. Good. Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. That is all according to Abaye. Now we turn the page, and what do we see? Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said that no. They are arguing, meaning yes, they're arguing about whether tripping is negligence, that's true, But they're arguing about after it fell, after the jug landed on the floor, after he created the hazard in the Rishos HaRabim, and yes, a machlok between Ramer and Rav Yehuda, whether you're chayv, whether you're potter. However, says Rav Yochanan, that's only when the slick was created by you tripping. Started in Ones, and now the slick landed and fell on the floor. But according to everyone, says Rav Yochanan, if you intentionally and deliberately left it there, and you were mafkarit, you're going to be chayiv according to everyone. So says Rav Yochanan. Then what we did is that we brought ourselves to the sheet of Rebbe Lazar on the Amud Beis, where Rebbe Lazar says that his opinion is that if you're mafkir nizakov, you take nezek, you leave it in the street, and you declare it ownerless, you're going to be chayiv. Subscribing to the view of Rabbi Shmuel says two items in the Torah where, despite the fact that it's not yours, the Torah treats it like yours. And one of those examples is Bor B'Rishus HaRab, and the other one being Chametz on Pesach. So in other words, we have Rav Elazar also subscribing to this viewpoint. Where we're going to end off tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, is that now, hopefully if you're following well, Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan sound awfully similar to one another. And meanwhile, we thought they were arguing. That will finish up tomorrow. Rabbi,